Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We've started a series really in relation to the bonuses that you are expecting in this coming season and how important and significant money is to us. And a lot of us think that money is just a material object and forget that it is actually more spiritual than you realize. And that's why I want to make sure that just before you spend all that money that you're going to make as you've worked hard for it, that you don't. That you actually live in prosperity and that you will have the money that you will need to go the distance. Bloomberg came up with an article, a very interesting article. If you have a chance to read it, you want to get this thing. And it discusses this whole idea of poverty and inequality. That there are people who are poor and there's inequality all over the world. And it touches on the idea of New York, probably one of the places where you have the greatest level of inequality. But the reality is part of our problem is we keep looking at inequality and not thinking that it's really prosperity that causes poverty to lift. And what we're looking at is we keep comparing ourselves with wealthy people when the reality is when you remove some of these people, we're not going to be in jobs. Think about Singapore. And we start looking at wealthy people and we say, why do they have so much? When you remove some of these wealthy people, we won't have the food we need to eat. We won't have the jobs. So the reality is we shouldn't be looking at the difference of inequality, but to deal with this issue of poverty. And for the most part, poverty is a mindset, spiritual mindset. It's not that, you know, when you think about the number, how many of you have a cell phone today? Some of you don't, okay? You're in poverty, amen? But you know why you have a cell phone? Because you're not in poverty. Yeah. And if not for the people who invented that, you wouldn't have the information you have right now. But then you look at the guy who invented the cell phone, and you look at the guy who invented Facebook, and you envy him because you have a spirit of poverty. But the reality, if not for those guys, you wouldn't even know that these things existed. That's the problem. Because there's a similarity to poverty and greed. Poverty declares, I need more. Greed declares, I don't have enough. And you can pretty much switch this too, and poverty will say, I don't have enough. And greedy people will say, I need more. Because what you really need is a spirit of prosperity. And if you're joining us for the first time, I don't preach on prosperity every week. But I do have to preach about it every now and then so that people understand the difference. And there's a huge difference. Rather, what you want to say is, I have enough, but I can have more. It answers the issue of contentment and answers the issue of ambition. God doesn't want you not to have more. You can have more. But right now, right this minute, when I landed last night, when I went to bed last night, I have more than enough. I'm fine. I'm content. Contentment, by the way, is not you being happy with what you have. Contentment is I am so full of content that I don't need more right now. Now, am I going to have more? Absolutely. Because I have a spirit of prosperity. Last week, we talked about what is prosperity. And we touch on Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. And it said, prosperity is the Hebrew word yathar, which means to push the boundaries, to go beyond the present level, to have a surplus, to have excess. And part of the reason why we don't have a surplus and expense is because we spend too much. The reality is everybody who has, even if you're living in Singapore, you're probably in the top 20% of people who have some level of wealth if you compare yourself to an average African or a Syrian who's now out there with no house. But the problem is when you compare yourself with another guy, then all of a sudden you are back into poverty. But the reality is if you lived right and you had a spirit of prosperity and not poverty, you're actually blessed. We said last week that the key is the understanding of abundance. I talked to you about these men and the similarity between Einstein and Andrew Grove and Howard Schultz and Steven Spielberg and Sergey Brin and Larry Page, who founded Google. And I talked to you about Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo, whatever his name is, the richest man in Singapore today, Saverin. And we said the common denominator with all of these men are they're all Jews. And the reason why they're successful, and this is not an account for saying that Jews are perfect. Bernie Madoff was a Jew, amen, or still a Jew, and he's a crook, amen. That's not the point. The point is the average Jew has an abundance mentality. And how you know that you don't have one is every time you envy someone who has abundance. That's a telltale sign. When you are not celebrating someone's abundance, but you're envying someone, you have a problem. The other indicator is when you overindulge. How many of you went shopping in 11-11? If you did because you're wise and you're a good steward, great. If you did because you wanted to overindulge and you thought you were going to run out of supply, you have a poverty mentality. It's quiet here today, amen? You have a scarcity mentality. Reminds me of my granddaughter, Sophia. This is my son, Joshua, and his wife, Christy. And Sophia is now going too. And she's got this habit of shaking her head. You tell her, if Sophia, eat your food. No. Sophia, it's time to go. No. Every time you say something to her, she says no. So finally, my son kept asking her this question. Sophia, do you want toys? It's a mindset, amen? And that's some of you, that's your problem. You've got such a scarcity, poverty mentality that God say, I want to bless you. No. Yeah. Sophia, do you want a Ferrari? No. Sophia, do you want $1 million? No. Sophia, do you want to... Every time they said something, no, because the issue is not how much money you have in your pocket. The issue is right here between your head. In fact, it's deeper than that. As we go forward, you're going to find it's in your heart. As I pointed out, we all have cell phones. I think about the number of people that can travel today, and think about the people who work from overseas that are now blessed to travel from India, to travel to countries that don't have, that have extreme poverty, to be able to work in places like this because of the people who invented. And you envy those guys for making billions, when without those guys, we will have greater poverty today. Are you thinking right? Or are you thinking wrong? And then think about clothes and how we used to be. This is all I wear. By the way, if you're new here, this is how I look like every Sunday. I didn't buy it from 11-11, but I bought it on sale. And I just brought with me, in this trip, I just bought 7 brand new ones of these. And I love these. These are new fabrics. They never crinkle. They never... Trust me that they're all new every time I come here on Sunday, okay? In case you're wondering. But the point is abundance. How do you think? Then it says it's the fruit of the womb. It's relationship. But the Bible defines prosperity. It doesn't define it in terms of money. In fact, if you're smart, you become prosperous and wealthy based on your relationships. When I look at my career as a businessman before becoming a minister, as a young businessman, I've been able to borrow money not because I'm smart, but because of my father-in-law, amen? Because of relationships. And my father-in-law hated me. How many of you, some of you, your father-in-law doesn't like you. You're in a bad situation, amen? The next time I borrowed money, it was no longer because of my father-in-law. It's because of the guy that he introduced to me, and I had a good relationship with him. The people that you're going to be working with, in fact, instead of complaining about your boss, be good to him. Better yet, pray for him. And some of you just don't like your bosses a lot. It's about the fruit of the womb. It's about the young of the livestock. And we said last week, what is prosperity? Your ability to give to God. Because if you can cheat God, you'll cheat everybody else. If you can shortchange God, you'll shortchange everybody else. It's the crops of your ground. In other words, you live a blessed life. You just know that you know that you know, no matter what happens, I'm blessed. That's because that's what the Jews are. They just, you throw me in a ghetto, you throw me in a gas chamber, I'm coming out better. Because they're coming from a very different perspective. And they believe that's their destiny. This is what God intends for me. Now, the question for us this morning, how does it work? If Deuteronomy chapter 28:11 tells us what it is, verse 12 tells us how it works. It says, the Lord, And that's important. It says, the Lord will grant you. The next verse says, the Lord this time will do it for you. The question is, how does he do it? It says he will open the heavens. This is powerful. When you think about the heavens, and then it says, the storehouse of his bounty. This literally means the treasure house of God. And if you don't know anything about God, he's got unlimited treasures. And he can give you one idea. I remember a story of a man named George Washington Carver, who was a poor Negro slave family and trusted God and believed in God. And God just gave him one idea about the peanut. And out of that peanut, he invented peanut butter, peanut oil, peanut this, peanut that, and thousands of peanuts, peanut stuff. It may be one connection, it may be one friend, it may be one associate, it may be one job opening, it may be one idea, but God has a treasure trove if you will trust him. Now, notice where it says in his bounty. Now, that word storehouse is the word otsar. Literally, what it means is unlimited premium benefits. Everybody say that with me. Unlimited premium benefits. And we settle for the least. We settle for, okay, this is it. Now, there's three simple points here. Number one, God has a storehouse. If you don't believe that, you have a problem. Because you're going to keep looking for other storehouses. Number two is he will open it for you. Look at your neighbor and say, for you. I've got a storehouse. I don't have a problem when you get rich. Because what that tells me is I'm next. If you have a problem with that or a pastor that gets rich, you have a very serious scarcity mentality. Wow, it's really quiet here today. If you have a problem with somebody who's a domestic helper who's getting rich, I had to rebuke a woman, a minister. I said, how dare you teach these women that they cannot prosper? How dare you talk about God that way? If you have a problem seeing someone like that travel and be blessed, you have a serious scarcity problem. You do. Because what you're saying, in effect, is God will not open his storehouse for that person. And by the way, if you're going to get prosperous, you're going to have to deal with this first. Because if you don't deal with this, not happening, folks. You're going to be spinning your wheels, making money, getting your bonuses, and you're just going to lose it. Worse, you're going to get sick. He will not just open it for you. He will pour out an abundance. Now, you got to understand where these three words show up. Storehouse, open it for you, the heavens, abundance. It shows up in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Where God himself says, test me in this. The Bible tells us, do not test the Lord. This is the only verse in the entire Bible where it says, test me. And see if I do not open and throw open the floodgates of heaven. This is the exact parallel of Deuteronomy 28. And pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. It's just too much of it. And how does it work? It works by faith. My son, David, is a businessman. And once upon a time, he had this group of guys talking with him about business. Said, David, I really have a problem with this faith thing. I don't believe in it. And then he said, you're in business. Yeah, we're in business, yeah. You know that 7 out of 10 businesses are going to fail in the first 5 to 7 years. You guys are aware of that, right? We're all businessmen here. You know that among all of us here, very few of us are going to make it. And yet all of us start a business because we do it by faith. The problem is not faith. The problem is the object of your faith. Because without faith, you will not have hope. The problem is we have need faith. The problem even among Christians is where you put that faith. And if you put that faith on you and your boss and on this country, you've got something going for you. You put your faith in God. Everybody say, in God. And trust. Now, what's the indicator that you believe that? He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's the idea of the tenth. And those preachers or you who have a problem with that, that's your problem. I'm not telling you to, I'm not forcing you. I'm telling you how this works. Because if you can't even give a tenth, you're not going to give your best. Are you here? Man, it's really quiet today. I love you. That's why I'm telling you this. That there may be food in my house, he says, on earth. There is no shortage in heaven. It's here. I remember having this conversation with Pastor Steve many, many years ago, the founder of Every Nation Ministries. I said, Pastor Steve, you know what we can do? We should set aside 15 to 20% of our tithes and set it aside and start investing it quietly so we won't have a shortage, so we will never have to take up tithes. And he scratched his head and looked at me and said, Joe, you can't do that. Because if you do that, you took away faith. You and I are going to operate out of abundance from those resources, that are the faith in God that who will supply, because that's how he said we were going to be supplied. Worse, we're going to unbless the people we lead, because that's how God's going to open the windows of heaven for them. What are you thinking of? I'm so glad I got rebuked. Amen? Nothing wrong with being wrong. Something wrong, actually, the Bible says, you're stupid if you don't willing to be corrected. Some people say giving online, the church has gotten greedy. They're so greedy, they're now asking money for online. No. Remember my son told his friends, he said, you pay online for Netflix. You pay online for your mobile phone. You pay online for your food supplements and for your rubber shoes. You pay online on this. Why do you do it? One reason is because you value these things. You want to make sure you don't forget it because you're smart. And secondly, you do it because you want to get points. Amen? You're smart. But that's the same with the tithe. I want to do it online because I'm smart. And I don't want to forget because it's valuable to me. Because I believe that's how the Lord opens the heavens for me. Church is not greedy. Church is not forcing you. It's up to you. It's you figuring out. Are you going to give God your best or are you going to give God your scraps? Now, verse 12 says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty. Back to verse 12. How? Send land, the rain in your land in season. Get this. This is the biggest problem why people aren't prosperous. One is they don't understand that God operates through time and seasons. So we tithe today, but not tomorrow. We show up at church today, but not next week. We serve God today, but not next month. We don't understand that God's watching this thing over time and season because there's a reason for it. Prosperity comes in seasons. I was in Manila for a while and had a moment to open my laptop finally and just do some personal stuff. And I was looking at some of my old pictures of my children. Most of you know my children are in their 30s, mid-30s, pushing into their 40s. I was looking at these three boys and how, no matter how hard I try, then, the time and the season did not permit it. You can grow anything you want, but the reality is there is a time and a season that God has ordained for certain things to happen. And if you will just stay faithful with God and walk the course in due time, he will prosper you. But it's because we don't understand that that's how it works. And then I was preparing for my annual Christmas card for my family and friends, and I saw this picture of one of the things, pictures that I was picking from. And I'm looking at my oldest son, who's now 36 years old, and now he has got a new baby. His season and my season are two different places. In other words, we're not all in the same time and season. And God, that's why you cannot demand equality. Because if somebody gave you the kind of money that he gave some other guy, it might actually destroy you because you're not ready. Because you didn't allow the time and the seasons to season you. Prosperity comes in season. Prosperity, enjoy the present season. Some of you, the reason why you're stressed is because you keep looking at the future prospect of prosperity when you're sitting on it right now. When you should be enjoying it, because for this moment, this is what God entrusted you. For that moment in time, this was what God entrusted to me. I didn't have a lot of money, but I trusted God. And I proved it by tithing. And I've been saved for 34 years, and I tithe. And I do not apologize. I'm not ashamed of it. I tell people about it, because if you're not prosperous, it's probably because of that. Because you don't get it. The mark of prosperity is the ability to give the young of your livestock. Can you enjoy the present season? I was looking at this picture of my second son playing with his son, and how much he enjoys this season. I'm so happy for him because he gets it. And he comes to me and says, you know what, I want this guy to be this. I want him. But right now he can't. No matter how hard you try, he can't. It's not the time. It's not the season. Go and enjoy it. My 2 days before I left, I had a one-on-one moment with my oldest grandson. I love this guy. I mean, I really do. I mean, I love all my grandkids. I've got 5. But this one's a little bit different. And I would take him out on dates, and I would sit down with him. And this particular one, I told him, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. I am so proud of you, Philip. Proud of you because, number one, you're obedient to your mama and your papa. I'm proud of you because, number two, you're a good kid and you love Jesus with all your heart. But here's why I'm really proud of you. Because I watch your cousins and they're all copying you. And I know that our family is going to be great and our family is going to be good because of you. Not trying to put pressure on him, amen? Right in front of me is a bowl of ice cream. I'm bribing him. That's what grandfathers do. I'm in a different season. And that's all the work I can do now. I'm done. Because I enjoyed my seasons. Because seasons are designed to make you seasoned. And that's why you're not ready for the big game, is because you're not seasoned. It will actually destroy you if you got overly prosperous. I was at the party just the day before I left with this man on your left. By the way, if you're wondering why my face is like that, it's because I was forced to wear a white shirt. He demanded that everybody wore white, and he was going to wear his brown shirt. And everybody in this picture is in their 60s. And the reason why I had this picture with them is because this man invited all his high school classmates, his family and friends, and that was him. This is a picture of a very prosperous man. His older brother, who's in his 70s, is taking pictures of everybody. It was just an amazing, amazing party. It was a picture of prosperity. I was looking at this guy and I said, hey, because all of these guys are members of my congregation in years past, so I gathered all of them. I just need a picture with the 3 of you. One guy is an actor, the other lady is a businesswoman, and we're all having pictures there. And then I'm just thinking, okay, I'm going to get caught in this white shirt somehow. But I want to tell you a little bit about my bald-headed friend. Because he lost a lot of money. He lost a lot of business, but he kept staying with God, following God, obeying God, not denying God, kept tithing. And recently, they just found out. They found out that there was this unlocked safety deposit box, and in Hong Kong, interestingly, about 3 years ago. And their family got called in, and they opened the box, and they found out that their father, whom they thought left them nothing, left them four buildings in Hong Kong. Amen? And you know what's more interesting? They sold it before all this fracas came out. Because that's how God is. And if you have a problem with that, you have a serious problem. Because you don't believe that God can come through for you. Not the way he's going to come through for him, for you. To send rain in your land in season. To bless the work of your hands. Let me close. This is how it works. You go do it God's way. You go serve God. You go put your faith in God. And the indicator of that is your tithe. And then he sends rain in season to bless the work of your hands. What is he going to bless? Your work. In other words, you have to work. If you're lazy, forget being prosperous. Not happening. Work is a blessing, by the way, in case you didn't know. Work is a blessing. You should love work. I love working. I landed here last night at 10:30, got my luggage, got home, excited to go to work today. I love working. I don't see it as a job. It's a blessing. And I work with passion. Let me close with one last story. When I got to Manila, this man had just died. 93-year-old John Gokongwei, billionaire. You couldn't go anywhere in Manila without him touching your life. I don't know the guy, but I do know one thing. Without him, we wouldn't have the best budget airline in the Philippines. I do know one thing. Terminal 4 will not work as well without Cebu Pacific. I do know one thing. Without him, a lot of college kids will not have jobs because he's got multiple buildings that provide people with jobs. Without him, there will be no housing. Without him, there will be no chicken. Without him, there will be no eggs. Without him, there will be no jobs. Without him, there will be greater poverty. I don't envy him. I don't even know him. I just get it. But here's one thing I know, he said. Work is not your job. This guy's not looking for more. He goes to work not because he's looking for more. He doesn't need more. He goes to work because he understands it. He goes to work with excellence. And that's actually why he's prosperous. Because he gets it. As I close, what is prosperity? It's a grant that God will give you if you have an abundant mentality. It's about your relationships. And not money. It's about your ability to give your best to God. It's about living a blessed life and walking in that blessing. It's about realizing that is my destiny. I don't care where I am right now. It's coming. How does it work? Well, the Lord will open the heavens for me. By faith. His storehouse and his outpouring. The proof of that is that I tithe. And in due season, he will send his rain. To bless the work of my hands. Amen. Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. If you're here this morning, look up here. You know, last week I felt like there was a wall I was preaching to. I felt like a lot of people, as much as you can preach about it, there's such a stronghold of this scarcity mentality. And I ask you, if you had it, you raise your hand and we'll break it. But I actually think this is going to take a while. And we just have to keep chipping at it, you know. You got to keep hammering it until the whole wall falls apart. So close your eyes. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, God, break this mentality out of my mind, my heart, my will, and my emotions. If that's you this morning, just lift up both your hands. Father, break this idea of comparison. Break this idea of envy. Break this idea of limitation. Break this idea of blaming the rich because they have more and I have less. Show me, God, that these people got blessed because they had the right mentality. And Father, even now as I stand here, in the name of Jesus, make me faithful to your tithe that I too may become seasoned and to receive the outpouring of the floodgates of heaven to pour out a blessing that I cannot contain. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.